I think you're fine. I'm fine.
Good. Good. I'm glad. You enjoy it. Expectations. Okay, I think everybody is expecting the lecture to start, so we'll just do that right now. Thank you very much for joining to the second last NIST lecture this semester. And this time we have Arne Helmer presenting about the question, can we hantere Cybertrusseln? He will give his talk in English and explain exactly what's behind that. Arne is a partner of, he's been for 7 years with KPMG. He's a national lead for cyber and the topical lead for e-health. He received his first degree, candidate science degree from the University of Tromsø, and his doctorate degree in security engineering from the Technical University of Twente in the Netherlands. So we are very much looking forward to what the Cybertrusseln is, and looking forward to the second last lecture.
Okay, can you hear me? Good, you're nodding. It got so quiet here, so that was the silence before the storm, I guess. And I'll just see if I can hook this thing up. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Arne Helmer. I'm extremely happy to be here to hold this presentation for you. I'm so very happy that Laura gave an intro, because I can keep my intro very short because she almost told everything. But I just want to add a little part of that before I go into this. Because I used to be a researcher when I decided to go into consulting many years ago. So I'm standing here to give you a presentation from a business point of view, but with a nerd's perspective, kind of. So a nerd with a purpose. I spent quite some years in the academia back in the 90s and to the end of the 90s. I did my PhD, as Laura said, in the Netherlands. And for the past 15 years, I have been primarily working with security consulting in Europe and in Norway. In two areas in particular, within building national security infrastructures, mainly into the public sectors, and also helping within the health sector to build security infrastructures. So currently, as Laura said, I'm a partner with KPMG and the lead of our national security practice. I'm also our lead on e-health and health technology. And I work primarily in the government and the health sector. So I'll try to move this so you don't hear my nose all the time. Can you still hear me? Good. So what I will do today, I will talk a little bit about the cyber threat the way KPMG sees it. And I will do that also by sharing with you a little bit about the concerns at the top. That means at the executive level in larger companies, what they see, what their concerns are, and then I will also tell a little bit about the way we, as a company, KPMG, sees that, and give you some of my final thoughts about this subject, because it's an exciting one. Can we manage the cybersecurity threat? So, for those who don't know KPMG, I will also give you a little intro to that, because most people who hear about KPMG for the first time, they know it's a global, international auditing and accounting firm. So their first question is, well, where does cyber and information security fit in? Well, it's actually fairly simple. It's simple because very many of our clients, those we help, they invest severe amounts of money into information security and into technology and into modernizing themselves. And they also, they need help and they need to understand the changes that are going on. So what we do, we try to bring a business perspective to that. So not primarily the technical side of information security, but the business side. So helping in larger companies from the top at the board and executive level and all down into the dirty details. We are also a company developing ourselves. We are about 1,700 people working in information security globally and more than 200 in the Nordics at the moment. And it's also a very exciting time for us because it's what we call a growth area, strategic growth area. We need to grow with this, as all of you mostly are aware of, the cyber threat is evolving as we speak. So, also maybe not known to many of you is that this year we were also ranked as the leading management consulting firm in cybersecurity worldwide. And of course, we are very happy about that, but we're also very scared, because if you're the leader, there's only one way it can go downwards. So it came two years too early for us, I feel, because now we just need to keep on the top, and that's a bit different than trying to reach to the top. So what do we do? Well, we do primarily four things. So we help leaders to understand the cyber threat and to act on it. And we help them to transform their security capabilities so they can react better to the cyber threat. We also do technical stuff. So essentially, we have two kinds of people working delivering services to our clients. It's those like me who usually wear a suit and go into executive meetings and work 9 till sometimes after 5. And we have those who go to the lab. And they usually never leave before very late in the evening. And they do not wear a suit. But why is it like that? Well, it's like that simply because the cyber and information threats that we see with our customers, they require attention at many levels. So we are really depending on having a plethora of different people working with us when we do. We also work very much with in ecosystems and partners, and I will not say so very much about this except for the fact that we are, of course, partners with CCIS. We are also partners with NORSIS. And globally, we also have partnerships with other companies who are delivering security services. So let's move on. Let's move to the cybersecurity threat. So what is it? I mean, when I look back from the years I worked on this, we talked about information security for many years, and we talked about how we should protect information. But that has really changed over the last few years, and it's been changing rapidly. I mean, when we now talk about the threat area now, we talk about quite other things. We talk about general failures. We talk about natural disasters. We talk about human errors. Essentially, we talk about things that are quite more different than we did just a few years back. And you can ask, why is it like that? Well, personally, I think it's several reasons for that. One of the things is that there are so many things changing at the moment. The advances in technology, the way we work, the way we adapt new things. So I think that's why we developed the term cyber. Not because it had to do with protecting information, but it had to do with the future landscape of technologies that we will see in the years to come. And that's what the cyber threat is all about. What makes this challenging for larger companies? Well, it's not only about the technology. It's about several other factors. One of them is, of course, the changing threat landscape. It used to be local attack profiles that caused cyber threats, but now today it's motivated organizations, cyber criminals who have their own innovative business going. They want to earn money there too, and that they do by attacking larger companies who have values that they may resell, steal, or use for other things purposes. It's also, as I said, it's a change in pace of technology, and that's always a challenge because my experience is that we're always lagging behind with security. We will never be able to catch up, if you ask me. But that's just the way it is, and that's how it's going to be, and that's just inherent in the way the security is part of everyday's life at this moment. Then there's regulatory compliance, which I will not speak very much about, but it's challenging also to be able to adapt to new things and at the same time be compliant with more and more stricter regulations. And regulations like GDPR will, for example, make European companies invest tremendously into security measures and privacy measures in the coming years. And there are also changes in the security market and of course, in the personal and client's needs, because most larger corporations, they communicate with us, with you and me. And that also makes it important for them to adapt. I mean, the final thing, which I haven't really paid much attention to, but I see is very important, is that we are being a bit overhyped at the moment about the cyber threat in media newspapers. I held a similar presentation like this for the executive group not so very, very long time ago, and they said, Arne, that's very nice, you talk about the cyber thing, but this is really about applying good risk management. That's what we do in business. So that's quite important to us. So if we start at the top, those who are either representing owners who are owners of larger companies, they have concerns, and the concerns they have about cyber is growing. These numbers are actually rather old. I found them from the Lloyd's board level risk index some years back in 2011, where it was on agenda, but not more than that. In 2013, where it had increased to be number 3, and today it's number 1. It's actually so that several members of Lloyd's said, well, this is an unmanageable threat, so we're not sure what we will do about it. And we're also not sure if we can insure it, for example. So let's look a little bit more about the concerns at the top. What keeps CEOs and board members awake at night? Well, there are different threat actors, and it's a war, and they're winning. Not our clients, and that's what we are seeking to address. I think it's one of the key challenges we are facing today is actually realizing how innovative cybercrime is today, how much of the force is in how they can adapt and use new technologies to make their goals, so to obtain exactly what they want. And that goes all from small corporations to criminal organizations to nationals who are seeking to obtain information or assets or disrupt business processes. I think personally that's one of the key challenges is we are in Norway now, also in the current climate that we have, where the oil period is kind of, it looks like it's just about to end, and at least we're not earning that much money in Norway on oil export anymore. And we are transforming all our intellectual properties, all engineering skills we have built over the last 30 years into other areas, for example, into sea room, into other kind of technical engineering, into computer science. We need to protect that information because our competitors, they want it. So I think one of the I think many people at the top, they really don't realize how dependent they have become on technology that is at risk when it comes to cybercrime, and how embedded it is in the products that they're developing, and how it can be exploited by criminals. So their focus is to keep things running, because that's what their job is. So they need to do their planning. They need to understand where they're going, their goals. They need to have an understanding of which risks they have and how to make sure that their part is running. They want to. And they need to have an understanding of which threats that are to the business, whether it's data security breaches, it's natural disasters, technology issues, or man-made incidents. Brand protection is an important thing. I think when I speak to leaders, there are two things they're concerned about. The one is, of course, how much money do we have to spend on this? And the second is, what's actually at stake when it comes to our brand if all our personal data is on the street, for example? So As a global firm, we conduct many studies, and we do that also in the area of cyber and information security. So we ask leaders what keeps them awake at night, and what are their concerns. And then to understand the cyber risk and to put it a little bit in a perspective, I think one needs to look at some of the areas that they are really concerned about. One of them is, can we keep our customers over time? And the other is, are our products relevant? Will they be relevant over time? And how shall we keep up with all these technological advances that are happening at the moment? So, there is also a growing concern about the cybersecurity, and I'm not so sure still that we are that far that it's clear that it's a strategic risk, and that it's so closely attached to what most firms do today, because I hardly know of any firm today that's not a cyber firm of some kind. So, at the top, just to stop there and think about it for a while. So on the one side, we are talking about people, they have a responsibility to build new things, to make new products, and to make their owners of the companies happy because they expect to earn money on what's being developed. At the same time, they need to adapt to lots of different changes in demography, and changes in landscape, landscape of threats, changes in competitor situations with all the disruption going on, new entrants in the different markets, for example, like Tesla. It's a good example. And then they need to understand how all these changes may actually impose business risk to the firm. So everything is changing, and this is a balance that leaders need to understand and handle. So if we take a market perspective on business risk and cybersecurity, we see that it's very different level of maturity in the different sectors. Of course, defense, aerospace, investment banking, and banks. Banks have come; they have come quite far. But of course, they have been exposed to risks and cyber-related risk for many years. They have spent time building what they needed. If you look at other companies, like in the pharmaceuticals, oil and gas, or even go further down, we see that they have a kind of bigger issues. They are still struggling a bit. They are partially experiencing crisis, and then partially they are fixing it, and they're on the way. My concern is about the largest group of companies that we have. Companies typically in the middle markets, so they're not that big. They haven't been exposed. They don't have that many customers, but they may be part of a larger value chain. So they kind of they're delivering services to other companies, and for me, that's the kind of the what's under the iceberg when it comes to many companies today. Being also an auditor for many firms, one of the things we do is, for example, to look at what we call third-party risk. We go and look at the situation for contractors and suppliers of services, and it's kind of scary usually what we see because it's not very often clear to either of the party, either the larger corporation, how dependent they are on the security in their smaller firms. And the smaller firms, they are unaware of the status of security that they have. So it's as a consultant, it's exciting times because it means it means there is a lot of things going on. So what's our perspective on this? Well, I think the question to ask is, in any business, is are we prepared? So, are we prepared for a cyber crisis? And that means also, do we understand all of the potential risks to a business? Have we thought about inside out and outside the box about the cyber risks and how we're going to manage them? Do we have an appropriate response or responses documented? And do we have the right resources available to handle them? I've given an example earlier, is that if it's so that the cyber threat is so unpredictable as we say it is, why are we giving education in cybersecurity on a very strict level, saying we are going to do this in the first curriculum, we are going to do that in the next? What we should do, I think, is we should start to throw everyone into deep water on day one and learn from it. Because if the cyber threat and what the cyber criminals do is so unpredictable, we need to start exercising on response from day one. That's what our society needs. That's what all large business owners need, or large businesses need, and that's also what most is needed to handle the security threat, in our perspective, when you look at, for example, infrastructure risk and how to handle it. So, what we do, we ask top-level management in larger companies questions to help also to help them reflect on the situation for their own companies. So this is an example of what we will typically do. A question is very simple. It's to say, do you have a very good understanding of the threat horizon for your company? Do you understand which security risks or which threats you're facing? And many companies, especially in that middle sector, they don't. And the next one is, how ready is my organization? Do we have a clear understanding of our capabilities in case something happens? Not only today, but also for the years ahead. And what are the key risk indicators? And how are we going to measure if we are actually succeeding to cope with the evolving threats, cyber threats? And if something seriously go wrong, how prepared are we to actually to recover from that situation? So I usually say that all the technology we usually fix, that's usually not where the challenge is. The challenge is mainly about actually engaging in an organization from the top level and all through the levels. So understanding the security and the consequences at all levels. And I'm sometimes quite surprised about the lack of understanding, especially at the senior levels in companies. They tend to know very much about what they do. They lead, but they have absolutely no understanding of today's use of technology, for example. At another conference, I held a presentation some time ago, and I discussed that. One in the audience, he said, "Can't we just stop using those phones and the email?" And that brings me to the asking the questions again about the maturity and how to address it. So we have some way to go. So of course there's a journey that needs to be done, and at least our perspective is that it has to do with risk management. This has to do also with building foundation and structure to handle risks, and that's one thing. And the second thing is that what senior executives and business leaders do understand usually is enterprise risk, so the entire risk picture for their firm. So we need to help them to integrate so they understand that cyber is actually part of this. So if that part falls out, well, the supply chain in that country is not going to work anymore, and that's actually business risk. So they need to see that. And also, frameworks are very good because they help also to understand another part. It helps also to understand what parts in of an enterprise needs to be protected. And that's also something which often comes as a surprise, what actually needs to be protected. So what does good look like? I think personally, it looks good looks like the ability to build and develop a security capability over time. So what does that mean? Well, of course it means that one needs to have security technology. One needs to have a security culture and human factors. One needs to have an operational effectiveness to work. One needs to have information risk management to understand what's going on, and also a good business continuity and crisis management. So when things, pardon my English, but when the shit hits the fan, there's actually a plan in place. Maybe call it a second way of working, a way of working where you can engage when something happens. And in my perspective, also, the most negligent one is the leadership and governance part, that it's integrated in the overall system of the firm. I will give you some final thoughts. And that first one is that it may be very, very, very easy to say, but one of the most important thing in the time to come is going to be you, me, is going to be able to develop competence in the years to come. Because at the moment, the cyber threat is evolving so fast that there is a shortage of competence. So we need to accelerate. And for those who have competence and capacity, they need to make sure they can keep it and also to develop it. And I think that maybe is one of the most important things needed in order to address the cyber risk for most companies. It sounds maybe naive, but if you don't have the people to help you, well, and you don't have the culture in your organization, well, then it's back to square one. So I think one should focus on what is actually possible to do. So here's at least some of the things we communicate. The first is simply to get the basics right. Many companies don't have a basic hygiene in place to handle security. And that's also why they're vulnerable. And the second is look after your crown jewel. And by that, we simply mean you need to know what's important to protect. If you don't know exactly what's important to protect, well, you will fail. And the third thing is to do your homework on enemies. Who are they? What do they want? And how are they acting? And the last part is also something which I think is kind of the positive message when it comes to cyber is that it's a brilliant way to take a very introvert look at your own company and say, well, you know, here we need to do something. Maybe there are other things we need to do at the same time. So at the end, I think. Our perspective is that those companies that are going to succeed in the years ahead are those who are being able to address cyber at the heart of their company. And that means that they will need to be able to have focus on those four areas. Finally, at the end, a picture of my dad, Bjarne. When he worked, he was a dentist. And I always ask at the end of my presentation, can we learn something from an old dentist? My father, he was very practical, and he also was a dentist in the north of Norway, so he's told me, Arne, when I look into a rotten mouth, I pull out the most rotten tooth first. And by that he meant, essentially, you need to take action where it hurts most at the beginning. I reflected a lot about what my dad said, because it wasn't really about a rotten mouth, because a rotten mouth was just a consequence of not having a basic hygiene. And over the 30 years my father worked as a dentist, in Norway we built an infrastructure of teaching and learning of individuals on how to have a dental hygiene. We also built infrastructure of dentists to help to improve on dental hygiene for people. And we succeeded with that. And I think the lessons are very clear. It's about getting the things right, and it's also about understanding what it means for each one of us. Thank you. I'm at the end of my speak. Are there any questions? There's a question at the back.
So I'm going to ask for it.
Yes.
One question. You said that there is shortage in skills. Why is that? So many people study this and still there is shortage.
Yes.
Is that kind of program that is not adequate or what?
My reflection of that is that I think it has to do with awareness, that there are more companies now being aware of the fact that they need to address this, and they are also starting to seek competence for their own firms. So it's kind of like when you have more companies who will ask for that, and we don't have enough candidates also through the education system, there's a shortage.
Thanks for a very interesting presentation. Yeah. There are many questions one could ask. I've got two. One is related to the demand side, that you said there is a growing demand for this sort of skills. I'm a strong believer in ideas of economics. Yeah. And you generally would expect, if there is a high demand, that prices are going up. So maybe you can say something about willingness to pay in terms of, you know, the claim that the demand is going up. So because if the demand is high, you expect security consultants to be able to claim larger or greater larger hourly rates than, say, the auditors. Okay, if it's not the case, maybe the demand is not so. Should I say great? So that's one question. And the other one is relating to the two different cultures that you have in information security, the US culture or in risk in general. So in the US, particularly in the oil industries, you have a strong compliance focus, whereas in the North Sea, you have a performance perspective on risk. Okay, so in information security, you have a similar perspective. You know, you check your compliance and that's it. Mm. Or you decide, you know, based on your risks, you decide what to implement. Okay, so maybe you would like to comment on first the demand pricing and then the two different perspectives, performance versus compliance.
Yes. Okay. Let me start with the demand side first. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but at least the price of it for information security professionals is definitely exceeding the auditors at the moment, and that's definitely going to change. And that's also because, but there are several reasons for that. One is that the whole auditing sector is currently through a disruption as we speak. And they are also being modernized by data analytics, automation, like any others. So it's actually a tremendous squeeze. There are a couple of things when it comes to the pricing for competence in security. And let me begin with my fear. My fear is the lemon market. And the lemon market for in information security is where we pay too much for a rotten tomato, more or less, and that is a challenge. We did a survey of what we expected to be the total market of good qualified people in Norway, and that's around 600 people. It's many more, but that's what we considered the qualified people. But at the moment, when there's such a big demand, those that are less qualified, they earn the same as those that are qualified, more or less. And that makes it much harder to price the value simply because you compete with the lemons. There was another question. It was on the... Performance versus baseline security. Of course, we as a firm, we see that very well. We have, for example, risk consulting, and we have management consulting. And cyber fits in both areas. But that's because being compliant is usually fine, but most firms, they who have cyber incidents or cyber threats, they need to evolve. And they need management consulting help. So it's a flip side. We try to focus on particularly the second one, the security capability build up, and transformative part of cyber.
I had a question, actually, just following up on what you just said about qualification and people not being qualified but still working in the area, because there was a time when somebody who could write security was already an expert. I think we got beyond that stage, but however, I would be interested, maybe also for our students, what do you count as qualified? What are you expecting from a security professional?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's difficult to give a really clear answer on that, because now let me see if I can formulate this correctly. Because my perspective is that it's two things. It's part personality, and it's part to have a deep understanding. One doesn't succeed as an information security consultant without having a deep understanding of at least something. But one doesn't succeed as an information security professional if you don't have a drive, if you don't want to achieve something. And in some points, especially when I look at candidates, I try to balance that. Because it's usually less important to me what your specialism is within cybersecurity, if you are not willing to have a drive or have an interest in solving challenging problems, the consulting it may not be the best place to be.
And
I'd
I'm sure that you have got a very good crystal ball in your office. From time to time, there are new threats and vulnerabilities being discovered. Okay, so it's all about our preparedness, and some of the mitigation efforts that we implement are fairly broad-spectred. Okay, they work fairly well in many situations. Now, looking into your crystal ball, what is the next big surprise in the cybersecurity field that we should kind of start thinking about being prepared for?
The dilemma is that we don't have that crystal ball, and but if you ask me, at least my concern is the way is currently the way we are just adapting and including new sensor technologies, and how we see the widespread use of the Internet of Things, Internet of medical things and instruments, and how we're going to cope with that over the next 5 to 10 years. Welfare technology, ambient assistant living at home, where everything is going to be they're going to be little helpers everywhere, and there's going to be an infrastructure which will be needed to be available and to be robust in order to make sure that it's not possible to disrupt larger parts of our society or what is actually holding our welfare together. That's where I see the biggest concerns, at least my perspective.
Thank you very much for this partially personal presentation also, and so this is a gift from the research community here. It's a Coins cup. So I hope you will enjoy having a tea with us or coffee with us at some point in the future. Thank you.
Because sometimes it's extremely difficult to do that. Hi.